Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. I am your host, Patrick Slattery. This is December 15th, 2017. It is a Friday. Thank God it's Friday. I don't know, maybe. It is Friday, and I will be taking calls. And that number, as always, let me get my mic adjusted, is 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. There's all sorts of stuff to talk about today. And I want to get started on Bitcoin. Yesterday, you heard the show with Thobert Applebag, the musician, but he's also interested in monetary issues. And we talked about Bitcoin. And what we were talking about is, could Bitcoin become, could Bitcoin replace other forms of money? Would Bitcoin replace other forms of money? Then later in the day, I was listening to the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. And during the first hour, he was talking about Bitcoin, but answering a very different question. Should Bitcoin replace other forms of money, as opposed to could it or would it? And that is definitely a question that needs to be addressed. And I'd certainly recommend anybody, if you want to go back into yesterday's archive, I'm pretty sure it was the first hour, first thing he discussed in the show was, should it? And, you know, this is not what we were talking about yesterday, would it or could it? It's a different question altogether. And with Bitcoin, there is this mystery about it. It supposedly was started by some person, some mysterious person who's got a Japanese name. But nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure. There's a lot of mystery about it. And John Stadtmiller was talking about sources who say it's started from the NSA. And certainly, if you don't know how it started, there's no way you can rule out the NSA. I don't know. I don't know who really started it. I don't know who's really behind it. And so I can't rule anybody out. And the concern, I think this is the concern that John Stadtmiller was raising, was that, let's just say, you know, it replaces other forms of money. It replaces the Federal Reserve notes and becomes the main means of transactions. But, you know, one point I was making yesterday was about, you know, whether it's a currency or an asset. But one thing about currencies, and we didn't really go into it yesterday, was, you know, it can be used to as a medium of exchange, but it can also be used as a store of value. You know, you hold bank accounts, you hold money in a currency, you can. And so what if people are holding money in Bitcoin? And the plug gets pulled on it, you know, very literally, because as Thobert Applebag was talking about yesterday, it does require enormous amounts of electricity to keep this thing going, you know, for the verification and whatnot. It's stored electronically. What if it's hacked? What if the people who actually manage it pull the plug on it on purpose, and then suddenly everything's lost and no means of putting it back together again? So that is a very, very legitimate concern. And as long as you have no idea who's running it, then it's a very legitimate concern. So I thought that was interesting, and certainly wanted to give a plug for the National Intel Report last night, because I thought it was a very good discussion of the issue, especially following on Philbert and my discussion earlier in the day, which was addressing a different question: would it or could it? And yes, it could. Yes, it could become a means of exchange. Should it? We didn't get into that, but I really got a lot out of John Stadtmiller's talk on it. Now, one other thing we didn't get into yesterday, but we talked a little bit about gold and silver. And You know, gold and silver are not fiat currency. We did talk about them yesterday as being, you know, not necessarily having industrial uses. There's some industrial uses, but that's not why they're valuable. They're valuable simply because people believe they're valuable. And that's a fact. On the other hand, what does distinguish them from fiat currency is you cannot produce gold and silver with the push of a button. The gold and silver atoms were built up in stars during the evolution of our universe. It's just opening the door for Mr. T to come in. Hello, Mr. T. Thank you. Welcome to the studio. So that's important. What really distinguishes gold and silver from the fiat currencies is they can't just be created with the push of a button. They can, you know, they can. The monetary policy becomes at the whim of mining companies and discoveries of ore reserves and things like that. So it's not completely without problem, but it can't be created with the push of a button. So that was one thing I wanted to get into at the start of the show. Something else I wanted to talk about. I was watching PBS NewsHour last night, as I tend to watch. It comes over broadcast TV. I've canceled my cable subscription because I don't want to give these guys my money. But I do watch the PBS NewsHour to keep an eye on the mainstream media. It's one of my windows on it, and occasionally I'll watch other programs through the internet, mainstream news programs. But PBS NewsHour, they covered Vladimir Putin's news conference. He had a four-hour news conference yesterday, and he's somebody who can give a four-hour news conference. I don't speak Russian, but he's certainly very intelligent and very knowledgeable of the issues. And I've seen these press conferences. He can pretty much take on anybody's question and has detailed policy knowledge, a lot to say. Well, and of course, he was asked about the whole Russia hoax, the Russia hacking business, and gave a very sensible answer to it. After that segment, then they went on to talk about the attitudes of Russian Americans towards this issue, Russian hacking, Russian meddling, Russian interference, and also their attitudes towards Russia in general and Vladimir Putin. So they had this whole, you know, 10-minute segment, and they go to Brooklyn. Where else? They go to Brooklyn. They go to some, I forgot the name of it, something beach, Brighton Beach or whatever it's called. This Russian neighborhood in Brooklyn, and they talk to a Russian, or should I say Russian, with the echoes, a Russian radio host who ran for New York City Council, apparently, named Ari Kagan. What a Russian-sounding name, Ari. Where have we heard that before? You know, they're NPR, the public news, the public radio station, they have not one but two Ari Shapiros working for them as correspondents. Ari Shapiro, how Russian? Kagan. Well, we know the name Kagan. Who do we know by the name of Kagan? Well, there's Elena Kagan on our Supreme Court, and you have the one of the two co-founders of the Project for a New American Century that suggested a Pearl Harbor-type attack might be very useful in getting the United States to change its policies, you know, basically predicting 9/11, kind of setting out a blueprint for 9/11. That was Robert Kagan, who was the husband of Victoria Nuland, who we have to thank for the Ukrainian Civil War. Thank you very much. And he comes from the famous Kagan family, with his father, Donald Kagan, who is a Zionist history professor of Greek and classic history, but a Zionist, and his brother, Fred Kagan, another neocon, prominent neocon. So Kagan is a It's a Jewish name. Ari is a Jewish name, Ari Kagan. But not once in this 10-minute segment on PBS, where they're interviewing loads of people, very Jewish-looking people, people with very Jewish-sounding names, but they never mention the Jewish issue. And, of course, the one thing that was surprising to me was the assertion, I'm not sure how true it is, maybe it is true, that among the older generation, the people who came to Brooklyn as adults from the Soviet Union in the 1980s or the post-Soviet Union in the 1990s, but I guess especially the ones in the 1980s, tended to be pro-Trump and more sympathetic to Russia and Putin, or at least to Russia, or at least pro-Trump. Let me walk that back to at least being pro-Trump. And let me completely walk back the pro-Putin thing. There wasn't anything pro-Putin about it, but they were dismissive of the Russia hoax, saying that Russia doesn't have any kind of power. They're kind of dismissive of Russian power and capabilities, and pro-Trump. That if it's true, it's not a huge surprise, but it is a bit of a surprise to me. But we know the younger generation of these Russian emigres, people who came as children or maybe were born here from the emigre parents, tend to be very, very hostile to Russia, hostile to Putin, hostile to Trump. They are the never Trumpers. We're talking about people like Julia Yoffe, who is with the Atlantic magazine now, who was on the PBS NewsHour just earlier in the week, or maybe last week, talking about Vladimir Putin's dictatorship and all he's doing to, repress his people and subvert democracy all over the world and attack our freedoms and blah, blah, blah. That's very typical of these people. And, you know, it matters. It really matters. The Jews in Russia have not looked at themselves as being Russians. They may have looked at themselves at certain periods in the 20th century as being Soviets, as they created the Soviet Union. But Russian, no. They've always differentiated themselves from the ethnic Russians and viewed them with suspicion, hostility, contempt. And so to interview these people in Brooklyn as kind of representatives of Russians living outside Russia, well, no. They're not Russians living outside of Russia. They're Jews who left Russia. Now you get people like Julia Yoffe, who was born in Russia, came here with her parents, I think in 1988, if I'm not mistaken, right around sometime in the late 80s. It could have been, actually. I'm not even sure if she's that old. She 30 years old. She's probably in her early 30s. She probably came here as a little girl from Russia. And she complains about, they had to flee anti-Semitism. Well, if you look what happened when the Soviet Union broke up, first of all, the idea that Jews in the Soviet Union were repressed is kind of laughable, especially when, you consider what Jews did to the Soviet Union, to the people of Russia in the first decades of that state's existence. But then you look at what happened in the 1990s, where you had Boris Yeltsin, very much a front man for these Jewish interests. He comes into power and, appoints this Jewish privatization minister, Anatoly Chubais, who embarks on a program of what they called shock therapy. Where they had this rapid privatization of state assets at a time when the ruble was collapsing, at a time when people were literally starving and freezing. They didn't have money. Well, who did have money? Who had real money, hard currency, or access to hard currency? It was people who had connections to wealthy people overseas, to overseas finance. Who in Russia, which had been closed for decades to personal exchanges, who in Russia would have had connections to hard currency to finance overseas? I mean, come on. So it was the Jews. And you had people like George Soros went over to Russia. You had people like Jeffrey Sachs, the Harvard professor, the proponent of shock therapy. You had people like Lawrence Summers, who later became the president of Harvard, but he was assistant secretary of treasury at the time, later became secretary of treasury. He went over to oversee this American project of privatizing the Russian economy under Boris Yeltsin. And you had the younger people like Peter Orszag, who later went on to wreck the Icelandic economy and became then after that feather in his cap, was President Obama's budget director. People like that went over there and they facilitated the connections between these very young Russian Jews or Jews in Russia and overseas Jews. And so they created this class of primarily Jewish Russian oligarchs, and in the course of doing so, impoverished the rest of Russia. They impoverished Russia. The average life expectancy for Russian men plummeted by 8 years. You had just massive suicides, alcoholism, and literally people freezing and starving to death. That was Russia under this Jewish terror of the 1990s, which finally Putin put an end to it. And there's a lot you can fault Putin. Doesn't go far enough. There's a lot you can fault Putin. But in terms of world leaders, I think Putin has been one of the best world leaders, certainly the most important statesman of the 21st century. I'll say that without any fear of having to back that statement down. And the Jews resent him, especially, I mean, most Jews had left Russia. The ones with the oligarchic power stayed there, protected by the Russian president Yeltsin and the Russian state. But most left. They went to Israel. They went to Brooklyn. And so why would PBS pretend that talking to these Jews in Brooklyn who left Russia at a time when Jews were ruling the roost in Russia? And then later, of course, you know, you had President Putin taking back Russia, at least to a large extent. Why do they think this would be representative of Russian opinion towards their government? You see, here's this major problem we have is the Goyim don't know. And what don't the Goyim know? The Goyim don't know, A, the Jews have so much power. Why don't they know Jews have so much power? Because they don't know who the Jews are. They don't know who the Jews are. So here you've got PBS, and you know they're doing this on purpose. They know what they're doing. By portraying these people as Russians as opposed to Jews, it just further confuses the issue so that the Goyim won't know. So people are portrayed as Russians, or they're portrayed, you know, in other contexts, you have people portrayed as whites. You know, Hollywood is run by white people. Well, all of the Hollywood directors I've seen are white. All of the producers are white. Well, they're Jews. The banking industry is run by white people. I've even heard, this was pretty ridiculous, but it was recorded from a Occupy Wall Street demonstration where you had this Jewish guy who was shouting, "No, the banking at Wall Street is run by WASPs. It's white Anglo-Saxon Protestants." We'll be back after the break.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. And I was talking about, well, what I saw on the PBS NewsHour last night, them portraying these Jews in Brooklyn as Russians as opposed to Jews. And this confuses the issue. So I have my bat theory of Jewish power or Jewish identity, the bat theory. Bats, in some cultures, are considered two-faced because they go to the birds and they say, look, I've got wings, I'm one of you. And then they go to the mice or the mammals and they say, look, I've got fur, I'm one of you. And this is what the Jews can do. They can, you know, go into a white room and it's like, well, you know, I've got light skin, I've got you know, red hair or whatever, and I'm one of you. And then they go to the minorities and they say, look, I'm a minority. I'm persecuted. I'm a victim. I'm one of you. And, of course, really, for the most part, they think of themselves as Jews. And but because they can go into white society and the goyim don't know, the goyim, you know, if they're wearing their earlocks and black coats, they stick out. But most of the ones don't. I mean, Harvey Weinstein doesn't dress like that. If you're in the know, you know, oh, Weinstein, that's a Jewish name. Oh, look at that face. That's pretty daggone Jewish. That behavior, that voice. But most people don't. Most people aren't that far along. And, you know, would they know when they see on PBS NewsHour, would they know that Julia Yaffe is Jewish, in fact, born in Russia? She's new here, and yet she lectures, you know, white people or people who are at Charlottesburg about what it means to be American. Thank you very much. Do they identify these people? Or the Nick Schifrin, who is the Jewish correspondent who was talking to Julia Yaffe. Do they recognize him as being Jewish? No, they don't. And why have they been able to do this in white countries? They haven't been able to directly take over China or Japan or India the same way. Why? Because they can't pull it off over there. They have to use different means. Now, some people think that, well, in a few generations, there will be a mixed breed, part Jewish Chinese population. There could be, but one thing is when they do that, to mix enough to pass themselves off as Chinese, they're going to dilute a lot of the genetic tendencies. And there are some genetic tendencies towards ethnocentrism. I mean, ethnocentrism is at least in part heritable, and Jews rate very high on that spectrum. What is it with Jews? They have this culture. Well, they have genetics, they have the culture, they have the religion that creates a great deal of ethnocentrism, of tribal thinking, of cohesion. Now, of course, they argue with each other, but what they do have a very strong tendency towards is thinking what's good for the Jewish people, what's good for the tribe. I think it's pretty clear that they have that more than others do. And tell you what, we have a caller. I know I'm close to the break, but I'm going to bring on Reggie from Virginia. Reggie, welcome to the show.
Yes, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Doing well. Yeah, I was listening to, I listen to RBN and your program on a regular basis.
Thank you.
I just came in on your subject matter a little bit ago, and I'd like to interject something regarding the premise. I came in, I didn't catch it from the beginning, so
okay.
You correct me if I'm out of line.
That's all right.
But based on what you say, you know, the premise of the word Jew, I follow where you're going as to how they are mistaken. Sometimes I'll use the word recognized as Russian, and as you say in Hollywood, sometimes, you know, because of their complexion, you might say all of the people that run Hollywood are white, and they may be viewed or perceived or known as Jews, quote unquote. But you know, the term Jew is a slang word.
A slang word?
It's a slang. Yes, sir. A slang term. Yes, sir. The origin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
Oh, go right ahead.
The origin of the people. For an example, use an example. If a person say that they are Amish.
All right, hey Reggie, why don't you hold that thought and stick around until after this break? We've got a break coming up in just.
I will.
Just a few minutes. Okay, we'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
To the show. This is National Bugle Radio. I am here with Reggie from Virginia, and I believe Reggie was, we were talking about Jews, and I think Reggie has comments about what the meaning of the word Jew has meant at different times in history. Is that what you were getting at?
I'm sorry?
Reggie, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
Okay, as I was saying...
And please speak into the phone so we can hear you better.
Can you hear me better now?
I think so. Okay,
hello?
Go right ahead.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yes, sir. Now, for an example, I'm going to try to be as succinct as I can.
Okay.
For an example, the Amish is a group of people that identified more by the way that they live, mm-hmm. more so than the identity. In other words, the way they live is their identity that makes them Amish. I don't know the exact root of the word Amish, as mm-hmm. it may be related to the concordance. If you look in the concordance, I think it would probably... Now, I'm using this as an example. I have mm-hmm. not looked it up, but I'm using it as an example.
Okay.
So if you looked up in the concordance, I think it would identify as to the way that they live, mm-hmm. which is similar as you were identifying that you, in a lot of cases, you identify people that identify as Jews based on the way that they live and the way that they dress and their appearance. Now, I will invoke, let's say, President Trump's daughter marries a Jewish person, and she assumes the identity as a Jewish person, and she changes certain of her ways that she lived. Now, are you familiar with the Khazars?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you know the story of the Khazars, and you're familiar that the Jews have what they call the Ashkenazi. They have the Orthodox, the Ashkenazi, and the Sephardic. You familiar with that?
I'm familiar with all of that.
Okay, now, the origin of the people that the slang term originates from is one of the 12 tribes of the children of Jacob, who created the 12 tribes of Israel. One of the tribes were the tribe of Judah. Based on the scripture, that's the tribe with which Christ and David descended from. But they didn't call themselves Judah. They called themselves the children of Israel, but the tribe of Judah. Now, I'm going to hang up now. I'll leave that with you, and I'll listen to your comments.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, Reggie. And so I will make some comments on it. And, you know, this is something that a lot of people bring up. What does Jew mean? What is the origin of the word? And, so as Reggie stated, you had the 12 tribes. You had this one tribe, the Judeans. So there's that. Now, what I'm talking about, well, usually I'm talking about things in the present day or in the past 100 years or so. And so you have people who identify as Jews, who are identified by others as Jews. And it's not just one group. And Reggie mentioned you had the Ashkenazi. The Ashkenazi have their origins, at least their, you know, more recent origins in Eastern Europe. The word Ashkenazi means German, I guess, in the Hebrew language. And it may well be that if you go back far enough, 1,500 years or whatever, they were in the Rhine Valley. They came to the United States from Eastern Europe. And there has been, as Reggie mentioned, this idea of that they are Khazarians, that they are Khazars. And there was a Kaganite, a Jewish kingdom on the shores of the Black Sea in Eastern Europe, that where the at least the kings had converted to Judaism. It may have been much of the population, or it may have just been the ruling class, but it was the state religion. Not a whole lot's known about it, but there's been some archaeology into it. There's letters written. There've been letters that were exchanged between the Sephardic rabbis in Spain and these Khazars. And some people contend that the Ashkenazi are primarily descended from Khazars who were a Turkic population that converted to Judaism in sometime in the Middle Ages. That I think that there may have been a small contribution to the Ashkenazi gene pool from these people. I don't think they are primarily descended from them, and I base that on linguistic evidence, because the Yiddish language spoken by the Ashkenazis is a Germanic language. They were surrounded by a sea of Slavs. Why would you have people descended from Turks surrounded by a sea of Slavs winding up speaking a Germanic language? But then more recently, in the past decade or so, there's been so much genetic study of the Ashkenazi Jews, and at least on the paternal line, they're father's 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 fathers do seem to be come from the same gene pool as not only as other Jews, but also as Palestinians, as Lebanese, as Assyrian Christians. So they do seem to be Middle Eastern in origin, especially on the father's side. There is a considerable amount of admixture from, especially on the maternal line, the mothers, from local European populations. And you look at other Jewish populations around the world, and for the most part, even those in South Africa or Zimbabwe, there's a small population, a small group that contends that it's by their tradition that they're Jews. And when you look at it, of course, they look just like other black South Africans, but when you look at the DNA, that their Cohens, their priestly class, they have the same Y chromosome as the Cohens in America or in Israel. So there doesn't seem to be some basis, at least on the paternal line. You know, there's that, but so there is this genetic thing. And I do think that there are certain tendencies, certain personality tendencies that are heritable, and the tendency towards ethnocentrism in particular, I think, is tends to be stronger in Jews than in certainly than in white Americans and most other groups. But it's, I think there's certainly higher ethnocentrism genetically in Jews than in white Europeans in particular, and that they use that against us, that they tend to, through genetic causes, cultural and religious causes, they tend to want to act in the benefit of their tribe, their group, and even, you know, there may be, I mean, obviously they're highly organized, there's the potential for meeting together and conspiring, but I think even without that, this tendency towards thinking and acting what's best for the group, I think, is very strong. I have some examples, but I do have people on the line I'm going to get to. And the one thing about having a daily radio show is if I don't get to something today, I'll always have a chance to get to it. So let's go to Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, I mean, that's surprising about some of the genetic stuff you're talking about. I would have thought that everything would be so convoluted there would be no remnant to compare to, except that the Ethiopian Jews, from what I've heard, even though there's a lot of resentment against African immigration or Aliyah, mm-hmm. there's apparently some good evidence that they might tie back to, the being closely related to the family of Yeshua or Jesus, but I think all that becomes academic because of the stories surrounding 70 AD. They lost, I can give you, I'll send you in the mail a Fort McHenry quarter, and I'll send it to you, and I'll say, this is your Fort McHenry quarter commemorating the Star Spangled Banner. I give it to you forever. I'll give it to you forever now.
Well, that's on the back of the Maryland State Quarter, the Maryland Quarter, right? Yeah, which was issued in 1999 or so.
Yeah, just anyway, it's just a trivial thing. I'm going to give it to you forever. It's yours forever. If you lose it, sorry, you lost it. I fulfilled my promise to you. I gave you that. They not only lost the land once in the Babylonian captivity, they lost it again in the 70 AD captivity. So God has fulfilled his promises for the lands of, that was given to them, and they keep losing it, you know, for whatever reason. Their corruption results in them not having a hedge of protection around them. And why Christians will support the building of a new temple is beyond me, because it's an insult to the cross to reinstitute animal sacrifices. And you cannot go into Jerusalem right now and be a Christian and carry forward the Great Commission and proselytize. It's illegal. You can stand in the open church door, I guess, and invite people in, but you cannot preach the gospel in an open forum in Jerusalem or in Israel, because it's against the law. So I think that a lot of people don't realize that, you know, they're not taught that. But the whether or not they're genetically linked back, they lost the priesthood. Nobody can prove it. They lost the genealogies. All that was destroyed, as the Bible talks about it, and 1500s English, it's not talking about the periodic table of the elements. When it says the elements will be destroyed with fervent heat, it's not talking about the entire earth and the earth-burning universe-ending event. That's the elements of the faith. That's the incense shovels. That's the menorah. That's the, if there was the ark, was still in the Holy of Holies. And all of the gold that was on everything that was melted with fervent heat, the elements of the faith were all destroyed in 70 AD. And so his prophecy was fulfilled. Not one stone was left upon another. I mean, this proves that he was a prophet. Besides the ridiculous amount of transcripts that we have, so what? We don't have anything until at least 50 years after, you know, he was crucified. But you have to also remember, the Christians have suffered through 1,400 years of jihad. There's been 1,400 years of destruction from these, whatever the heck he supposedly experienced in a cave. Muhammad went totally off the ranch and violent after a few dozen years. And the religion of peace became extremely violent and destroyed any library they came across. They killed all Christians. It was convert or die. You know, and so we've lost all kinds of records of Christianity throughout the Middle East. If it wasn't for the pitiful example of the few 20, 30 years, however long the Crusades were, you know, a few dozen battles, it preserved some bloody stump of Christianity in Syria and Lebanon and the Middle East. It just barely preserved some of what we have now in Christianity there in the Middle East. We would have nothing if it wasn't for the Crusades and what we can extrapolate from the Catholic efforts, you know, and Constantinople was almost completely mm-hmm. overran by the Muslim, you know, jihad. It's not, I don't think in any way it can be considered a religion of peace, except those basically non-practicing Muslims. So, I mean, a lot of this is academic, and it's some kind of feel-good trying to make up for World War II, whatever you think happened there. But I don't understand a lot of the Christians, once they understand this, why are they supporting, you know, so much of what they're doing. Everyone needs to watch the 5-part Fox News series. Carl Cameron and Britt Hume introduced this on Israeli spying. These people are not our allies.
Yeah, right after 9/11, and it was on Fox News. It was taken off Fox News' own website, but if you were to go to YouTube, I'm sure, or Google and search for Carl Cameron, Britt Hume, you know, Israeli spying, right?
They're not our friend. They have, and you can understand some of what they've been placed in this situation by the powers that be, but the British, the Rothschilds, the European bankers, they've been put in this enclave as I think originally it was a corporation, State of Israel, and they're trying to legitimize it into a country. But they've been placed in this almost impossible situation where they're surrounded by all these hostile Arabs, and they're making it worse.
There's a debate out there. Were the Jews placed in this situation by the powers that be, or the powers that be Jewish? And, of course, the Jews are not a monolith. And there are differences of interest between those who are, you know, Zionist in the more traditional sense of wanting the Jews to create a state, a kingdom, what have you, in Israel, and a different definition of Zionism, which is about, you know, Jewish power. But you know, this is a debate, and it's a debate I have with other people about, you know, are they put in this position by the powers that be? Are they the powers that be? And, you know, if you look at different times in history, maybe you wouldn't necessarily get the same answer. If you look into the Middle Ages, where the Jews were intermediaries between kings who had no particular loyalty to the subjects they ruled, and they would use Jews as money collectors, tax collectors, maybe the Jews were being used by the kings at that time, but other times in history, and I would contend this time of history, the Jews really are the powers that be.
Well, and they I think, cause a lot of self-fulfilling prophecy because
yes.
they think that they're going to be persecuted no matter yes. what they do, I think they end up being persecuted no matter what they do. It's hard to be a friend to the Jews if they're ready to stab you in the back because they think they can fix the world. It's their job to fix the world or establish
some global council
of wise people. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Tikkun Olam isn't what it fix the world, Tikkun Olam. We'll be back after the break. Thanks for your call, Mike.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Like that bumper music. One of these days I'm going to find a Korean person who can tell me what she's the soprano singing. It's probably How Wonderful Kim Il-sung Was. But whatever. We have with us Murr from Wisconsin. Murr, welcome to the show.
Hi, Patrick.
How are you today?
Good. Pertaining to your first caller, Yvonne gave us a video that I posted in your chat room that you ought to give out every day. But anyway, it's from August 31st, and it's Dr. Randy Short, a black man, and he's being interviewed by David Knight at the end of one of the Alex Jones shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. But he goes in to talk about not only the Spitlickers, SBLC, but the fact that most of his, or a lot of his genes are Jewish because, as we know, Jews ran and held the slaves. They don't admit to that, but that's, of course, the truth.
That's true.
A lot of Jews have kinky hair.
And a lot have kinky, or Jews have curly hair. They have the Jew fro. It's something I never really thought of before, but this African-American man contended that he had a fair amount of... I mean, obviously, African-Americans tend to have admixture from non-African sources, and typically we always think of that being European. You know, Jews certainly...
Let me jump
certainly...
in here with the Chinese, too. They claim to be the Jews of Asia. That's why
they don't. It's not that they claim to be the Jews of Asia, but the king of Thailand in, I guess, 1920-something had referred to them as the Jews of Asia.
Well, some of them themselves. I think it's Mao. I was looking for the quote, and I couldn't find it. But actually, you know, that's why things are going so swimmingly there now with all the business and banking move there. Because, again, it's the main thing about Jews is, as Rosenthal admits, it's about them. It's selfishness. Everything is about them, okay? Not about caring about any other race, but buffaloing that race and projecting their own proclivities, you know, whatever their, you know, nastiness is. And if you'll notice, Lier Cohen, he goes by Lear, but anyway, YouTube has married a Chinese woman. And Zuckerberg is married to a Chinese woman. What they're doing is bringing in the new Silk Road. And what happened with those basketball players that are trying to get Trump to apologize for their thievery? That was part of a stint, according to Yoichi Shimatsu, that was to help Zuckerberg get Facebook into China.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. I who knows? I mean,
that's how they work. They own the media. They own the money.
Yeah, to create a Jewish, like a Chinese version of Jews, would take generations. They are, you know, they are people who have...
They started generations ago. Remember the opium war we were talking about? You think they weren't blending with them then?
There has been for centuries and centuries a Jewish, a small Jewish Chinese population. I don't know
everywhere
how important
they go, they hump the locals. Everywhere they go, they hump the locals. Fact.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Ciao.
Okay, so I'm hearing a bugle call, and that is it for this week. We will be back next week, and boy, oh boy, is there a lot. And in the meantime, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send us a Hanukkah present or a Christmas present or Kwanzaa present, but send us something, and I'll be back next week.
The American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.